And so I'm going to go through this story, and I'm calling this message today. Oh, this is the whole story of Cain, that Cain went from the presence of God all the way to the land of Nod. Nod is representing the land of water, the wander, the land that's furthest from the presence of God. And we're going to understand this today, and I'm calling it From God to Nod, How to Break Complacency. Let me start with a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you today for your word. And I thank you for your people, that you divinely brought them here. And Lord, I pray that you would open our ears to hear, open our hearts to receive all that you have for us today. Now, Lord God, I pray that you would begin to break apathy, complacency off of our lives. And we would learn from the life of Cain, Lord God, that we would desire more of you. We would press into your presence, God. We would not let the spiritual atmosphere or the social norms around, the lawlessness that's hitting our city, affect us spiritually. But Lord God, we would counter that today with your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to look at three things. And the first thing is, no lordship reveals no relationship. And we can see this in Genesis 4:13. And it says here, Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I could bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." You know, when I read this, I thought, man, this is so typical of us. It's like, you know, that this whole situation of, you know, Cain killing his brother, you know, and God confronting him and all of this. And you would think that when God confronted Cain should have replied and said, "Oh, yes, God, I'm sorry. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. What did I do? I killed my brother. I'm so sorry." But there's none of that. What you hear from Cain is Cain replying all in these two verses, "me, I, my," it's all about him. It's all, many times what happens when we get confronted by God, we make so many excuses. "Oh God, it's not my fault, you know, it's their fault," or, you know, "Oh God, you know, my situation, it's so terrible, it's all about me." And I found that rather than Cain turning to God, he was kind of reflecting on himself and looking at his own problem and making excuses. And from his response, you can clearly see that God was not Lord of his life. Cain was. It was the first thing that was on his mind. And I want us to think about, when we get hit with situations, what's the first thing that we think about? Or what's the first thing that we talk about? Is it always about me, my I? Or is it about God? God's in this. God's helping me. Or I'm thinking about you and thinking about others. How are we responding in times? Cain's response reminded me of actually Lucifer's response. And that was in Isaiah 14:13-14. It says, "You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." How many times Satan, Lucifer, you know, the archangel in heaven at one time was saying, "It's all about me. I will. He wanted to be like God. And what he was basically saying is, "It's all about me." It was pride. And pride will cause you to get selfish. And we have to be careful of that. That when we're so consumed about ourselves, actually pride rises up in our hearts. And then we're actually sounding like the enemy. Ooh, ouch. So quiet. You know, the whole world becomes centered around, you know, ourselves rather than the purposes of God. I'm so amazed many times, you know, in many situations, how because of problems and circumstance, how the enemy uses that to cause us to always get focused on ourselves and our own situation. And rather than that, we should always be looking up. It kind of reminded me of that movie, God's Not Dead, right? That professor, right, when he was just arguing and yelling and saying all this nonsense, saying, I don't believe his God. God is dead. He's saying all these things. And the real reality was it was because he was hurt, because his mom died and God didn't answer his prayer and all this stuff. So he was all caught up in himself. You know, it's easy to have a show. It's easy to pretend everything's okay. It's easy to come on a Sunday and say, yeah, I'm doing my Sunday duty. I'm looking like a Christian. I'm attending service. But do we really know God? Do we really have a relationship with God? Do we really spend time with God? This whole week, we've been praying for people, and there's been that encouragement of, come on, hear God. Come on, pray to God. Come on, read the Word. And I'm amazed at how many times we could be Christians and we could come to church every week, but then during the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we forget about God. And then we say, oh, I'll just meet God again next Sunday. Where there's no lordship, there's no relationship. You know, I love this scripture in Matthew 7. And it says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. There's that word lawlessness again. And it's interesting that, yeah, we know what to do. We know, yeah, I pray for my food, Pastor. I pray. I pray 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, it's like, okay, well, do you have that relationship? Do you spend time? You know, we could do our service. We do our good works, right? We serve. We do what we need to do. But do we spend time? Do we know God? What caught my attention was, how could Cain be in the presence of God? Come on. Walking with God. Hearing the almighty voice of God. I don't think I've ever heard an audible voice of God. It's always like little whispers or impressions or pictures or scriptures, but I've never heard an audible voice from God. But can you imagine Cain?
Cain, where is your brother?
God, you would think that he would have such an awesome relationship, but he's choosing to walk away from God. It's like Gideon in the wine press. He saw a mighty angel from God.
Rise up, mighty man of valor.
Is that really you, God? I need a fleece. I need to know for sure. Is that really?
I'm a mighty angel.
It's like he's still hiding. It's like, what? Some of these stories in scripture I really don't understand. It's like to me this picture of a pool. And I don't know if you guys ever, you know, especially here because it's so cold. But there's a pool, right? And then you kind of like, you see your friends swimming in the pool. And they're like, come on, come on in. It's so enjoyable. It's awesome. And then you put your foot in. It's so cold. And they're like, no, it's not cold. Once you get in, it's warm. You're like, yeah, right, you know. And you kind of get in, you know, they put one foot, another foot. And then you kind of like, get a little bit in, you splash a little water on you, then they do that thing you hate. They splash water on you. Ooh, I'm going to get you, man. You know, they do all that, right? And then you're like, okay, you get enough nerve and jaw, and then you kind of jump in. Woo! And then you swim in. And all of a sudden, actually for me, when I swim, get in, I'm like, woo! And I swim really fast to get warmed up, you know? And once I get in, then I tease everybody that's outside. Hey, come on in, man. It's nice and warm, man. Chicken, you know, all that. Right? To me, that's kind of like a picture of lordship. It's like a lot of us Christians, we kind of like put one foot in. I think I'll be a Christian. Ah, no, no, no. It's too cold. It's too hard. Too difficult. And everybody else that's enjoying, you know, Christ and fully surrendering their life to the Lord and praying and reading their Bible and enjoying God's answering their prayer, having a great relationship, they're just swimming, you know, in faith and enjoying God. Come on in. It's so enjoyable. You're like, you can't understand. What do you mean? It's so enjoyable when it's so hard. It's so cold. It's like, what? I don't understand this. You only fully understand it when you fully get in. And we need to get in. Jump in the pool. Come on. And we receive. Apostle Paul understood that. And he was telling the church in Romans that many believers, you know, they experience God, but they kind of fall away. And he says this in Romans 1:21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God, give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creepy things." Come on, creepy things. How can you give up your relationship with God for creepy things? You know, you can have such an awesome relationship with God, but then you give that up for creeps? Come on, ladies. You've been with some creeps. Oh, come on. Oh, man, all the guys are going to beat me up. Okay, anyway. No, it's amazing to me, right? What we give up our relationship with God for. It just doesn't make sense. The party lifestyle, you know, the relationships, all this stuff, you know, that goes on. Why would you give that up when you have such an awesome relationship with God? And then we're looking for love in all the wrong places, and we think that we can have love and acceptance for some relationship when you can have that with God. And then it goes on in verse 24 and 25. "Therefore God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." You know, our God is such a loving God that He'll let you make your choices. And if you keep making your choices in the wrong direction, it's eventually going so far away from God. Look at all those scriptures in the Bible and stories about how, you know, all those people during Noah's time, they all were so wicked, all fell away from God. Children of Israel in the wilderness, falling away from God. The rich man that could have chose Jesus, but he chose his riches. You know, it's like God's life lessons is there in Scripture, and He's warning us time and time again. Come on, if we stray away from God, we're going to have a sense of lawlessness, and we're not going to even know what's right and wrong anymore, and then we're just going to live like everybody else. And eventually, it's going to end our life. It's interesting that, you know, we can look so religious, but only God knows our heart. And I was in a church in another country. And I was sitting there invited by my friend. And I was listening to this pastor speak. And man, this guy was so eloquent, man. He was a great communicator. He had 3 points in a poem, you know. And you know how they teach you in Bible school what you need to have. You need to have that start off, you know, joke in the beginning. And then you have the 3 points of the poem. And it was like so amazing. I was just sitting there and I was saying, God, privately to myself, I said, God, can I be eloquent like this guy? God, can you help me with my communication? Let me be so good like a communicator like this guy. And I heard a whisper of the Lord. And what I heard is, he's got the form but lacks the power. And I was like, what, God? Got the form but lacks the power, 1 Timothy 3:5. And I was like, I turned to my friend that brought me. I said, pray for your pastor. And he goes, what? Why? I said, I don't know. There's something up. Just pray for your pastor. I went back to Singapore. 2 months later, my friend emailed me and said, Pastor Larry, you never believe what happened. My pastor was found out that he wasn't even living a Christian life, and he, you know, fell away in adultery. 2 months later, we can have a form but lack the power. And we need to guard our life. Last month, we baptized 31 people in water. And you know what I love the most about water baptism is hearing the testimonies. You know, this is as one, you know, one group, but last year we had a group that we baptized. And as I was listening to the testimony, I was just so captivated because one of the ladies stood up and she said, you know, I had a bad back problem. And I went to so many doctors for several years and nobody could help me. And somebody told me, why not try church? Why not try God? So she was in our overflow room. And as she was in the overflow room after the worship, I had a word knowledge that somebody had a bad back. So I said, you know, whoever has a bad back, just put your hand on the back and God's healing that right now. Now do something you couldn't do before. And she was in the overflow room and she said she bent down and when she came up, her back was instantly healed. And she said, God, you're real. You're real. That Sunday she received Jesus. She went to our visitor corner and told, you know, that our leaders there that she had just received Jesus. The leaders immediately got her into a small group. That small group brought her through one-to-one that day. She got into that small group and during the week. And she started getting so convicted in the Word. As she was getting in the Word, she started getting so hungry. And all of a sudden, nobody told her this. The Lord began to convict her of her lifestyle. And so she told her small group leader, I need to change. I need to change my lifestyle. And then they were like, what happened? And then, well, okay, we'll pray for you. And she didn't even explain or share anything. She just went home to the girl that she was living with for 8 years. She was in a bad relationship with another woman. And she said, I can't live this way anymore. And I received Jesus in my life, and I have to move out. And it was an amazing testimony of how, you know, then the sisters in the church, you know, kind of took her in. And then, she moved in with the sisters and all of that. But she was testifying before she was getting baptized of the change the Lord did in her life. And nobody even told her about it. It was what she was reading in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit just convicted her of her life, and she says, I want to change. That's what I love. I love it when you don't have to tell somebody. The Holy Spirit just reveals things to them, and they want to be different. And the problem with many of our young people today is they're waiting for maybe somebody to direct them or just tell them how they should live when they should get that from the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to tell them, you need to live right. Don't compromise in your life. Set godly convictions so you live right. The world today needs people to stand up for righteousness, not compromise and live like everybody else. No lordship reveals no relationship. The next one is outward mercy does not justify sin. And I love this in Genesis 4:15. It says, then the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest anyone found should attack him. You know, when you look at this scripture, at first you think, oh man, that mark. That mark was a mark of judgment, man. That mark was, you know, just, you know, revealing that, sinner, you know, loser. You know, what was the mark? What was the mark that was on Cain? Was it a tattoo? Was it a burn mark on there, you know, that says that, you know, loser on your forehead? What is that mark? So we don't know. We don't know what was really that mark, but what we do know was it was definitely known. It was known from that day forward. And that caused me to look at, you know, in Exodus 13, I believe the mark was actually a verbal mark. That whenever anybody heard about Cain, you know, they would know, oh, yeah, okay, he murdered his brother. There was a mark. Don't touch Cain because God said, you know, it'll be seven times worse. So there was that verbal mark. And why do I say that? Because Exodus 13, in verse 16, it says, it shall be as a mark on your hand and frontlets between your eyes by the strong hand that the Lord has brought us out of Egypt. What was that? It was the memory of the killing of the firstborn. It was a mark. It was like a mark in their mind. Every time somehow they look at their hands or every time they look at somebody, it was a mark, a memory of this whole event. And so that's why I believe it was probably some sort of mark. And that caused me to reflect on our lives and our situations that many times we wear a mark and we don't realize it. What are the marks I'm talking about? It could be a mark of rejection. You know, it's interesting that my wife will testify about this, that all her life, for some reason, all the way up till she found Christ, that she somehow would always feel rejected. She would go into the school, friends would always reject her in situations. It seemed like she was always rejected by her home. She couldn't pinpoint what it was until maybe like 7 years ago. We were in Singapore just having a casual conversation with her mom. And then something about, like, we were talking about abortion. And then her mom says, oh, yeah, actually, I tried to abort Elaine, my wife. And we're like, huh? What? What happened? And then the mom said, yeah, you know, because, you know, of our finances, all that, you know, I took medicine to try to abort Elaine, but it didn't work. Hee, hee, hee. You know, it's like nothing. And we're like, oh, my goodness. All of a sudden, everything made sense. No wonder Elaine struggled with that rejection all her life. It started from birth. And some of us wear a mark of rejection. And we're walking around, we're wondering, how come people reject me? How come I reject people? Could it be something that happened in our life that caused that mark to be reflected? You know, there's another mark that we wear, and I call this the mark of anger. And that one's easy to detect because it's so evident, right? It's there in your face, man. It's a mark of anger. But, it's something that we wear all the time. And it's maybe we don't recognize it, but people see that on us. We wear marks all the time. That's why I thank God for the mark of mercy and grace. That Jesus said to Thomas, touch my hands. And Thomas touched and believed. You know, Jesus went to the cross. And any time that you go through these scenarios of saying, okay, what in my past, in my generational past even, what marks have been carried down on me that I'm wearing? Remember this, the mark that God put on Cain is actually a mark of mercy. The mark that because of what Jesus has done and when we receive in our life, we receive the mark of mercy. But just because we receive the mark of mercy doesn't mean that we should get away with our sin. Just because that we're not getting confronted or we're not getting judged right when we sin doesn't mean it's okay. Just because nobody knows that you're having an adulterous affair doesn't mean it's okay. It's the mark of mercy that we wear. And what is that for? In Romans 2:4, it says, or do you not presume or on the riches of his kindness or the forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? The mark of mercy that we wear is to lead us back to repent, to come back to God. It's always going back to the cross and saying, Lord, thank you for taking the nails on your hands and feet. Thank you for taking the stripes on your back, the crown of thorns on your head, the spear on your side. You did that for me, Lord. And always going back to the cross and being quick to repent and saying, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me. Help me to change. Help me to make things right. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10, it says, but you are a chosen race, a holy royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. We've received his mercy, so we need to live different. We're holy royal priesthood. He's called us out of darkness. Don't go back there. The last one is don't settle. I believe that this is a word for many of us that have come from different countries. And sometimes when you come to different countries and come here, you're kind of like in this place where you don't understand. Remember I said this in Genesis 4, 16, Cain went away from the presence of God and settled in the land of Nod. You know, the land of Nod means to move to and fro, wander, flutter, show grief, aimlessness, no stability. It's interesting that this land somehow, it's like Cain goes from this place of God's presence and is going further from God, I call it into a land of wander, and he ends up in Nod, the furthest place. And this land of wander is the place where many of us, even as believers, get lost. It's a place where we don't understand. It's a place where all of a sudden we get hit with sickness out of the blue. And we're saying, God, I've been serving you. I love you. How come you allowed this? You come to this country and all of a sudden you got this sign of this visa and you think, okay, God, you brought me here, but then you have no job. And now you're in this land of wanderer second guessing. God, did you really call me here? Or maybe you're married and then you get in your first fight and you're like, did I marry the right person, God? I was in this one country and praying for this one lady, and she says, Pastor, pray for me. I got in a fight with my husband 2 years ago, and ever since that he left me, I haven't seen him since. And I said, okay, let's pray for a miracle. We prayed for her. That was a Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. We did four services on Sunday afternoon. I see this guy walk in with a hat. He comes up to the front. He asks for prayer. I said, what do you want prayer for? He goes, I don't anything. I pray for him. And all of a sudden, I had words about leadership, words about restoring in your family, words that he was running away from God. So I just wanted to make sure from the pastor that I was okay. And then the pastor's going, go, bro. So I said, okay. And Jesus, you know, the Lord is saying, get back with your family. And I was going on and on. And turned out that guy was that lady's husband. That night they restored back together. God healed their marriage, and it was just a glorious time. Last year I saw that guy in Philippines at one of our conferences, and he came up to me, and he said, Pastor, remember me? And I'm like, no. Yeah, I pray for so many people. And he said, who are you, bro? And he says, I'm that guy you prayed for, the guy in the hat, the guy that ran away from my wife for two years. I just want you to know I'm back together with my wife. And I'm a pastor now. Isn't God good? But it's so amazing how we enter this land of wandering. And we don't understand that land, that season. And we're so quick to give up on God. Oh God, I thought having a child is supposed to be easy and fun. I thought there's supposed to be a reward and blessing. But all they do is poop a lot and cry a lot, you know, and now they're so expensive, and I don't know, it's causing, and now I can't go on movie dates with my wife and all of that, nobody's babysitting my, you know, you go through that whole scenario. And the whole thing is God saying, no, come on, don't give up in the land of wander. It's interesting, this land. Because the land, when you look at the children of Israel, when they were wandering in the wilderness, you would think, okay, that should have took maybe a week, a couple weeks to get to the promised land. Why did it take 40 years? So I love this verse in Exodus 13, 17 to 18. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea, and the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. They didn't understand the land of wandering, the land of the wilderness. They didn't understand it was actually a protection of the Lord. Because the Lord saw, they just came out of Egypt, man. They were slaves. They didn't know how to fight. God knew that there were Amalekites, you know, mosquito bites and all those ites in the promised land. And they weren't ready for that kind of battle. So he had to bring them through the trials and the hardships and learn to see God move and see the Red Sea and see the glory cloud and see the fire by night and the pillar of fire by day, you know, and all of this. You know, I mixed it up, but the pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, you know, and they needed to see God move. And it's interesting when you even look at the whole map of it. It was like that wandering around. Do you know this? God allows us to go through trials to build our faith. You know, the Lord disciplines those he loves. And if you're in a trial that's taking so long, just rejoice and say, God, thank you. You love me so much. Do you know, I've been in trial after trial after trial. And sometimes, you know, the trials get overwhelming. Battle. I battled with depression for a year and a half. There's so many things that I had to battle through. And you question, God, why? If you called me to be a pastor, to be a leader, why do I have to go through that? And sometimes I can hear the Lord, even in his joking laughter, say, hey, I'm just growing your faith. I'm like, what? We don't understand it. Sometimes we go through sickness. My whole family is battling through cancer, through sicknesses, all these things, and we don't understand. We're just holding on by faith. But even in the midst of that, man, we can see our faith rising and growing and growing. Why? Because the Lord is preparing us for the promised land. He's preparing us for something greater ahead. The problem is many of us quit and give up too early. The Word of God says that, man, if we don't give up, Galatians 6:9, we're going to reap a harvest. Do you want to see, come on, all of New Zealand saved? Do you want to see the church growing here? Then don't give up. Don't give up because of one offense, one hurt. Somebody didn't shake your hand on Sunday. Oh, I'm giving up. This church, not friendly. What? I've heard that before. And the Lord says, if we don't give up, we're going to reap that reward. Count it all joy when you face various trials. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Why? The Lord needs you for the long haul. He doesn't want any short-term Christians. You know, sometimes when I dream and I imagine of one day going to heaven, and I'm dreaming of Jesus saying to me, well done, good and faithful servant. But sometimes those thoughts come to me of like, man, what if I go to heaven and the Lord's asking me, how did you take care of my daughter, which is my wife? How well did you take care of the wife I gave you? How well did you take care of the children I gave you? Did you do everything that I've asked you to do? You know, and I just go through those scenarios. I'm like, Lord, I want to do more for you. Lord God, I just want to love you with all my heart. And I want to encourage you, don't quit. Allow yourself to go through whatever you need to go through to grow closer to God. Remember, he allows us to go through that. He disciplines those he loves. And when you're going through that hardship, just know the Lord loves you so much. Look at those trials and hardships in a different way and say, thank you, Lord. I'm thankful that God allowed this story in the Bible of Cain. But what if Cain would have turned it around? What if Cain would have repented? What if Cain would have said, yes, God, I'm a murderer, forgive me. Oh, Lord, I want to come back to you. It would have been a story of Cain walking with God. Man, he would have instilled that with his children. But what did he go and do? He went actually out, settled in Nod, and actually had a son and named a city after his son. Why? He was trying to build a memory because he lost hope. Without God. So I want to encourage you as I close. No lordship reveals no relationship. Outward mercy does not justify sin. and don't settle in the land of Nod. And what do we need to do? We need to turn and repent. We need to tap in His presence and power and trust in the Lord. And I want to encourage us that if we do this, we're going to break that spirit of lawlessness and complacency. And as we do this, we're going to see the church grow. And we're going to see disciples being made. And we're going to see the harvest coming in. And we're going to see a greater encouragement because we're countering the spiritual atmosphere and that was negative before. And we're declaring God in this place. And we're going to begin to see God move in a mighty way. Amen. Let's stand up together. I'm going to pray for us. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word and the encouragement of your word. I thank you for putting stories like Cain in the Bible. It's not full of all these stories of great heroes and did amazing things, but there's also stories of people that messed up. Because you had allowed us to read these stories to warn us, be careful. We can easily be like Cain if we're not careful. But Lord God, today is a wake-up call. Today you're encouraging us, Lord God, to receive you as Lord, 100% of our life, surrender to you. And if that's you today, and you want to say, yes, Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus in my life. He's not Lord of my life. I'm still compromising. I'm still kind of like half in the world, half out. Or I've never really dedicated my life to the Lord. I want to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus today. The Bible says if you confess Jesus is Lord and believe that he died and rose from the dead, you'll be saved. And so if that's you today and you want to say, yes, Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus. Can you lift your hand where you are? As you lift your hand, more importantly, the Lord sees your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you see the hands that are raised this morning. If your hand is raised, if you could just repeat this prayer after me. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the dead for my sins. Come into my heart and help me this day to live for you, to serve you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for those that have received you into their heart this morning. I pray now that you would fill them with your love. I pray now, Lord God, that you would forgive them and heal them of every hurt and every scar and wound. And I thank you, Lord, now you're filling them with faith. Faith to believe, faith to move forward, faith to begin to press into your presence, to begin to jump in the pool and to say, Lord, I surrender my all to you. And Lord God, I pray for the rest of us. That maybe we're here and we're stuck because we're hiding behind masks or the mark of rejection, the mark of anger, or the mark of pride, some things that we're trying to hide. Or maybe we're in the land of wander and we feel like we want to give up. Lord God, I pray right now, Lord God, that you would instill faith to believe. Lord, I thank you today we would run to the cross and, Lord God, receive your mercy. Lord God, I thank you today that we would receive your forgiveness upon our lives. But most of all, Lord God, we repent. We repent and we determine to turn, Lord God, back to you. And we say, Lord, we want your presence. We want more of you, Lord God. We don't want to give up, Lord God. We want to get up closer. We want to know you more. And so, Lord God, I pray for your people today, Lord God. If any of us are discouraged of living and walking in that land of wondering, is this the place, or am I in the right place, or am I in the right marriage, or why is this happening to me? Lord God, today, fill them with hope, Lord God, to believe, Lord God, that you will lead them through and see them through. Lord God, today, Lord God, let them turn and not head down that land of Nod, but let them turn back to you, to your presence. And we thank you, Lord God, if you determine that today, and every one of you determined not to give up, but head back to the presence of God, I believe the Lord is going to turn situations around, and you're going to start seeing breakthrough. with the Lord, it's only a matter of time. Trust Him. So, Lord God, we trust in You. And we thank You, Lord God, for complete victory. Lord, You lead us into victory. So we thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big clap offering of praise.